Welcome to the message podcast of Werribee Baptist Church, a vibrant church located west of Melbourne, Australia. Dedicated to creating a welcoming and safe space for everyone to explore and grow their faith in God, our vision is to see hope multiplied within our community and around the world. We hope this podcast serves as a source of encouragement and spiritual growth for you. Thanks for listening, and we look forward to journeying with you in faith.
There was an event just a few weeks ago at the Werribee Mansion. And for those online, welcome, by the way. That's an iconic place here where we do a Community Carols event. And in the pre-show, Mr. Santa Claus showed up. And that was a bit of fun. But he told over 4,000 people that I am on the naughty list. Yeah. Now, I thought that's a bit unfair because I'm a nice guy. I'm a pastor even of a church that does lots of good in our community and around the world every day. And, you know, and I try to be good to my wife and kids when they're good. Anyway. But to put me on the naughty list, I thought, oh. So I started thinking about this list, and I did a little bit of digging. And I want to tell you about two people. One of them you already know. We've already talked about him, Santa Claus. But did you know that he had a lesser-known brother named Krampus? Anybody familiar with Krampus? Okay. Santa Claus did not invent the naughty list. In fact, Santa Claus didn't like the naughty list at all. His brother Krampus did. And Santa Claus, as legend has it, would give gifts to the nice kids, and Krampus would punish the ones that didn't quite make the cut. Now, that's not a great deal. And you can do your own research about that and find out more. But the bottom line was Santa rewards the nice and Krampus punishes the naughty. But what if Christmas was not about being naughty or nice? It wasn't about trying to be good enough. What if it was about God's gift to all of us, even the ones of us that are on the naughty list? That's where Jesus' story begins. Now, Matthew is one of Jesus' followers. He wrote a chronicle of Jesus' life in one of the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. You may be familiar with it. But he followed Jesus around, and he was a follower of Jesus. But he wrote a story about this over here. The beautiful nativity, where we have a baby in a manger, Mary and Joseph, and we have the shepherds, and that one's theologically incorrect because the wise guys are there, but anyway, they shouldn't have been. But anyway, that's the story we gravitate to. That's the narrative that we love, and the shepherds were out in the fields. But Matthew starts his account of Jesus' life way back. In fact, when we read it here, you're going to actually think, this is pretty boring, because he starts with a genealogy of Jesus. Who loves to read genealogies? Isn't that great? And you came on Christmas and we're going to read a genealogy. But as you're about to find out, that genealogy was anything but boring, and it was full of people on the naughty list. Matthew said, hey, you got to know this part of the story before we get to the manger and the shepherds and all that, because it's important to understand that Jesus includes naughty people. Matthew himself was on the naughty list. He was an imperfect person when he started following Jesus. And he starts out in this. Matthew chapter 1 says, Abraham was the father of Isaac. Isaac was the father of Jacob. Jacob was the father of Judah and his brothers. Judah was the father of Perez and Zerah. Okay, there we go. We got a list now. It started. First off the rank was Abraham. Did you know Abraham was a liar? Abraham went and told a Pharaoh that his wife, Sarah, was his sister. And he said, hey, she's actually my sister. She's not my wife. We're kind of cousins, you know, that kind of thing. And you can have her. Right? Naughty list, Abraham. Isaac, his son, did exactly the same thing about his wife, Rebekah. Naughty list, Isaac. And then Jacob, Isaac's son, he actually stole his brother's birthright. His brother had an inheritance coming, and Jacob stole that from him. Naughty list, Jacob. And then Judah. Oh, my goodness, Judah. Judah was the dude that sold his brother Joseph into slavery, right? He was a traitor to his brother Joseph. So they all made the naughty list. Now, look, We read all of that about Jacob and Judah. And then it says of Perez and Zerah, whose mother was Tamar? Wow, this is getting really interesting now, guys. Because Tamar goes on the naughty list because she tricked her father-in-law, this guy, Judah, into giving her a child. That's messy. That's yucky. But God chose to use her anyway. Moving on. Salmon was the father of Boaz, whose mother was Rahab. Boaz was the father of Obed, whose mother was Ruth. And Obed was the father of Jesse. Okay, hang on a minute. We've got another person on the naughty list here. It's Rahab. Rahab was not a nice lady, and we won't talk about the things that she actually did because we got lovely kids in the room, and it's beautiful. But Rahab was not a nice lady. Let's just leave it at that. But her faith caused God to use her to help rescue his people. In fact, she was so important. We're doing a series in January, and we're dedicating a whole sermon to her life and how she helped God's people. Look out for that in the coming days. Then we move on. Okay. Jesse was the father of King David. Now, there's a familiar name, and he's the only one in the list who has a title in front of his name, King David. That is extremely important because Jesus needed to come from the line of King David. Then it says this, David was the father of Solomon, all right? So he had another child, or he had a child called Solomon. And by the way, this is the same David of David and Goliath, if you're not familiar. Everybody knows that. And Matthew's making sure we know that Jesus had a right to sit on the throne of David. But look at this. He was the father of Solomon, whose mother was Bathsheba, the widow of Uriah. Interesting here. David fathered Solomon with a lady called Bathsheba, who was the widow of Uriah. Now Matthew's saying, hey, you can't just run past this. This is too important for you to understand. This is not just the cuddly manger scene with the shepherds, but Jesus has some naughty people in his line. David took another man's wife, and then he killed her husband. He had an elaborate plan to kill his husband. David makes our naughty list, right? Now, David was the father of Solomon through Bathsheba. And when we look at that story, we would say, potentially, Solomon should have never really been born because it was not a nice situation and everything, and he shouldn't have been born. And how do we get that? How do we get Jesus from that line? I don't know about you, but I know people I've talked to who say, you know what, the world would be a better place without me. The world would be better off if I've never been born. I won't ask you to raise your hands, but has anybody ever felt like that? Can I tell you that God uses people that feel like they should have never been born, and no matter what their circumstances came from and their situations were, God still uses people. You are made in the image of God. And if you were born, God wanted you born. Praise God. You are that person. David was a man after God's own heart, but he also committed adultery and murder. But God still used him to bring us Jesus. So what does this list tell us? Matthew thought it was very important for us to know before we get to the scene over there. Matthew says, you got to know this part. God didn't choose perfect people. He uses broken people, naughty people, to carry out his perfect plan. See, this is the world that Jesus came into. He came into a world of chaos and imperfect people. In fact, that's why he came. The beautiful thing about the story and what Matthew shares with us is that the people that Jesus came from are the people that Jesus came for. They're the reason, because they were naughty, Jesus needed to come. And because we're all naughty, Jesus needed to come. Matthew included this for us so that we would know Jesus came for us because we are all on the naughty list. Put your name right there. We are all on the naughty list. You came from a long line of sinners before you. Arguably, some of them probably a lot worse than you. But you came from them. The truth is, if there is a list that keeps track of our good and bad, we're all in big trouble. Kids, let me see the kids. Raise your hands. Maybe yell out at me, kids. Are you here? Yep, kids. All right. If you had to, all year long, be really, really good. People ask you, have you been a good girl this year? Have you been a good boy this year? Right, right? They ask you that. How many of you could honestly say, yes, I really was? Probably really not any of you. And you adults are snickering, right? What if I ask you that? What if you had to all year long be nice, be perfect? Honestly, would you have made it this year? I'm going to tell you a secret. I'm the pastor of the church. I'm preaching today, and guess what? I wouldn't have made it. I wouldn't have made it because I'm not perfect. You know, that's our reality. No matter how good we try to be, we can't erase the bad. We can't get rid of that on our own. Those times we would like to forget, those days that we regret the things we have done. We can all relate to the people that Matthew is writing about. And Matthew was that kind of person, and so are we. You know, normally we think of bad people as thieves and robbers and murderers. My four-year-old grandson understands this a little bit. He was at our house one day, and he had been playing outside, and he came in with this stick, and he said, "Pop, pop," and Booby, he calls Grandma Booby, he said, "I want to give this to you, and I'm going to put it right here by your front door, so when the bad guys come, you can take care of them," right? Now, he didn't think it through completely because he put it on the outside of the door, right? So the bad guys might have beat us to it. But, you know, normally we think those are the bad people. But the reality is we've all lied, we've all cheated, we've all hurt people. We've all murdered people's reputation with our words. We've all crucified their self-esteem with our criticisms. We've broken promises. We all fall short, and God knows that. In fact, he said this about us. He says, "For everyone has sinned. We all fall short of God's glorious standard." That's everyone. That's all of us. Everyone that's ever lived except Jesus. Look at this list here. Mother Teresa on the naughty list. The Pope and all the popes on the naughty list. Here's the big one, guys. Grandma. Right? You think my grandma's not on the naughty list? She was a saint. And then you and me, we're all on the naughty list. Everyone has sinned and come short of God's glorious standard. No one is exempt. Even the best are on the naughty list. So you might be thinking, sitting there thinking, so what's the big deal about this sin thing? Well, sin, especially for you little guys, listen to me. Sin is like breaking a rule, okay? When you break a rule, that's sin. But you're not just breaking the rule. You're also breaking God's heart when you do that. And because we do that, we break God's heart. The bad people, the thieves, the robbers, the murderers, which actually we all fit in that. We all murder, steal, lie, cheat, things like that in different ways. When we lie, we hurt someone. When we're selfish, that's sin, and it all separates us from God. So this is a big problem. Every one of us is on this naughty list. And there's a twist, though. There's a twist here. What if Matthew would say this to you? God doesn't have a naughty list. God has a rescue plan. That's why he's setting us up with all these naughty people. That's why it's important for us to understand God actually doesn't have a naughty list. You're relieved, aren't you? Because I've been telling you the whole time, we're all on the naughty list. But God doesn't have one. He has a rescue plan. His list is different. He doesn't work the way Santa does or Krampus does. He doesn't have a list of good people and bad people. He knows that we are all bad people, and that's why he sent Jesus. So after this list of people that Matthew gives us, look what Matthew says then. He's talking to Joseph through an angel, and he says this, or Matthew's recording it. "She will have a son, and you are to name him Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins." He's saying, here's all these naughty people, but Mary's going to have a baby, and you're going to name him Jesus because he's going to take care of the naughty list. He's going to clear the naughty list. Jesus came to take us off that list. And instead of checking the list and punishing us, God did something amazing. He sent his son to rescue us, to take our place. Jesus took the penalty so that you and I wouldn't have to be on the naughty list. It says this in Romans 6:23, the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus our Lord. See, there was a payment demanded for our sin because we were naughty. We deserved to be punished, but Jesus took that upon himself. God offers you a free gift. He offers me a free gift, and that's taking us off the naughty list. When Jesus died on the cross, he tore up the naughty list. Jesus came as a gift to naughty people. He didn't come for the nice. In fact, Matthew tells us this later on in chapter 9. He says this, I did not come to call the righteous but sinners. If there are people that aren't on the naughty list, that's not why I came. Spoiler, there aren't people that aren't on the naughty list. People that just don't know that they're on the naughty list and won't admit it, all right? So what we need to understand here is Christmas isn't about God rewarding good people. It's about God rescuing broken people. Romans 3:24 says this, yet God in his grace freely makes us right in his sight through Christ Jesus when he freed us from the penalty for our sins. You see, you saw Harry and Mary get baptized today. And a lot of religions are like the one that they were following, where you've got to try to be good. You got to do more good than you do bad so that the scales tip in your favor one day when you stand before God. The problem is those scales are never, ever going to tip in your favor. You can't be good enough. You can't measure up. A lot of people try to spend their whole life trying to be good so they can earn their way to heaven, but no one is good enough. The good news of Christmas is that you don't have to earn God's love. He already gave it in the person of Jesus. So how do we get off the naughty list? How do we get off of this with Mother Teresa, the Pope, Grandma, you and me? Instead of worrying about who's on the list, we need to have a new perspective on the list. Christmas is about remembering that Jesus came to save everyone, no matter how naughty we have been. That is why Christmas matters so much. That's why we have the manger and the shepherds and all of that, because we had the naughty list first. Jesus didn't come for people who had it all together. He came for people like you and you and you and you and me. People that needed rescuing. That's why the angels said in Luke chapter 2, verse 10, I bring you good news that will bring great joy to all the people. The Savior, yes, the Messiah, the Lord, has been born today in Bethlehem. If you have never accepted Jesus Christ's free gift of salvation, you can do that today. I would encourage you, don't let this Christmas season pass by, whether you do it today or some other time. Don't let this Christmas season pass by without accepting that free gift. Jesus said it this way as he was going through life. Come to me, all of you who are weary and carry heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. Let me teach you, and you will find rest for your souls. When he talks about being weary and heavy burdened, you know what makes us the weariest and most heavy burdened? Our sin. Being on the naughty list, trying to take care of that ourselves. And Jesus says, come to me. If you're tired, if you're carrying those burdens, I want to give you rest. Friends, I don't know about you, but there's so many days I need rest. And then he says, then let me teach you. Come to me, I'm going to give you rest. Then let me teach you. And as you learn about me and as you learn about God and you learn what God has in store for you, you're going to find rest for your souls. You're going to find rest deep, deep within. Does that sound like a good deal? We come to him and he says, I'll give you rest. To everyone that made the naughty list, he says, come to me. Because of your hurt, because of your brokenness, because of your guilt and your shame, and I will give you rest. You can do that today. You can come to Jesus. You can become a follower of Jesus today. If you're someone who needs to be forgiven, if you have never come to that place where you have surrendered your life to Jesus, where you have said, Jesus, I need you, like Harry did, like Mary did, then I want to encourage you, a short, simple prayer. I'm going to invite you to say a short, simple prayer with me, and it goes just like this, putting all the cards on the table so you know what you're getting into. It says, Jesus, I give you my life. That's it. What that means is I know I'm a sinner. I believe Jesus died for me, and I'm surrendering. I'm giving my life to Jesus. Just that simple prayer. Jesus, I give you my life. I want every head bowed and every eye closed in the house. And I want to invite you right now, if you have never done this before, you've never given your life to Jesus before, I want to invite you to say that prayer with me. Jesus, I give you my life. One more time for those that wanted to do it, but you're just a little bit afraid. It's that simple. Jesus, I give you my life. Jesus, I give you my life. You can look up now. If you said that prayer today, I want to encourage you at the end of this service, we're going to have some people up front over here in front of the drums. We'll also have some people at the information desk that would love to talk to you, give you a resource and a gift to help you get started on your journey. But you know, Jesus, he didn't come to check the list. Jesus came to clear the list. And I hope that today you made the decision to let Jesus clear your name from the list. Aren't you glad the naughty list isn't the end of the story? Christmas proves that God loves naughty people enough to make them new. As you go out today, I want you to remember that through your celebrations with your family and your friends and all the fun, exciting things you're going to do. Remember, the reason that we celebrate Christmas isn't because of Santa Claus. It's because of Jesus. And he came to give us the greatest gift we could ever have. Reflect his love at your family gatherings. You know, I hear some of those gatherings sometimes can be a little tense, a little bit entertaining and exciting, if you will. How can you reflect Jesus' love at those gatherings? Maybe you can remind people of why Jesus came, because when the fighting starts and the arguing starts and all that, you say, oh, yeah, we're all on the naughty list. But Jesus came to take us off. Father, thank you so much for your love for us. Thank you that, Lord, you chose to not hide the big, ugly picture of what the world that your son came into looked like. Lord, I thank you for the people that you let us see their stories so that we can relate, so that we can know that we needed your rescue plan just as much as they did. And Lord, thank you for all of us that have already decided to follow Jesus. Thank you for saving us. And now, Lord, as we go out from here, for those, Lord, that may have said that prayer today for the very first time and gave their life to you, Lord, I pray that you would help them to have the boldness and the courage to come tell us. Let us give them that gift, and Lord, that they would be able to start a journey of following you that gives them freedom from the guilt and the shame and gives them a new life, an abundant life that you came for them to have. Thank you, Lord, for sending Jesus. Thank you for Christmas when we celebrate it. In Jesus' name, amen.